Hello, everybody. Welcome to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but who did get pretty long-winded last week, so...
Oh, man. The longest.
So just a reminder to everyone that what you're about to hear is the second part of what was not meant to be a two-part episode, but that did get a little out of hand. And you're going to hear that now, but one quick bit of housekeeping before we let you into the second half of the Drake episode. We need to tell you that Is This a Ghost is sponsored by Smart Labels.
Oh, finally.
At long last. It's been a whole week since we've heard about Smart Labels, and the anticipation has just been killing me.
I never want to assume. Week in, week out, I'm literally just as surprised that we're still sponsored by Smart Labels.
We signed him to a longer contract this time. We said, you know, this week to week is fine, but what would you say to 2 weeks at a time? Mm-hmm. And David, he's a businessman. He knows what's good for him. So here we are.
He also does not read his emails very closely.
He has not. I'll be honest. He has not responded to an email in the last 2 weeks. So we're just going to keep on going, and he'll probably send us a check. And you know what? Even if he didn't, it would be fine because Smart Labels is such a product that's worth it, even if he doesn't pay us. But we liked it.
It is worth its weight in gold.
It is. It is.
Now, although it is paper. So that's, that is going to, even so, that's still probably a lot of gold.
I mean, if it's going to be worth its weight in like leaves, like that would be way worse. Like it's exactly. Still very light.
Worth its weight in, oh gosh, it's like carpet? That wouldn't be very good.
No, I would hate that. No.
No. Worth its weight in, let me think.
What would you pay anything for?
What would I pay anything for?
Anything.
Ooh, man.
Top of the list.
Does that be a real thing or can it be something I make up?
Whatever you want. This is an ad, so take your time and whatever you want.
If White Castle didn't give me such bad indigestion, that's what I'd wish for.
It's worth its weight in a non-indigestion giving White Castle.
Whoo, man.
Even a little bit of that is a lot.
It goes a long way.
It goes a really long way. Mm-hmm. You know what I would wish for if I had anything in the world, if I could buy anything in the world? Smart Labels. Because you know why? Smart Labels have given me peace of mind. It's the organization.
Worth its weight in Smart Labels.
It's, that's, you know, the thing. What? That is the thing. It is worth its weight in Smart Labels.
It's an even trade. Yeah. I don't know if you.
It is quite fungible. It's perfectly fungible, actually, with itself. And we're getting better at these ads as they go along. Smart Labels is an incredible product. You've probably heard us talk about it before. They are QR-coded, color-coded stickers that you stick on your boxes, your bins, your bags, your baubles, your bits and bonks, and any, what else? Well, I'm running out of B words.
Your boxes, your brads, your bobbies.
Your brains in bottles.
Your brains in bottles.
Mm-hmm. Boots.
Yeah, your bidet.
Boot box.
Your boot box.
Beat box. True. Boom box.
Yeah. It does not stick to the side of a bidet, I have found.
No, that one's a little tough. You got to use some extra. You're going to need some extra adhesive for that one. You need some cement for that. But it's worth it. It's worth it because bidets are hot stuff. And when someone takes yours, we can't talk about GPS features because that doesn't exist. No, never mind. Scratch that. Scratch that one. Anyway, you take the label, you stick it on something that you want to find later. So you fill a box with your precious moments figurines, for example, and you say, I really want to make sure that I know exactly where the little shepherd boy is because he's my special little guy. And I'm going to put him on the top shelf once this shelf is dusted.
And then I also want to know where my precious moments figure that I repainted like Ace Frehley went, because that was from a different era, and I kind of need to know where he is.
And if Grandma finds that one when she's going through the box, she's not going to understand it, and I'm going to have a lot of explaining to do.
She's going to fill her bag if she finds that one. So
you put the label on the box. You take a picture of the box with the Smart Labels app, and you can type in, these are my precious moments collectibles. You can take a picture of the box. So you can take a picture of every single precious moment figurine that's in there, including or not including Ace Frehley.
You already have those figures. You already have those photos. I know you do.
Yeah, but now you have them in the app.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
It's different.
Mass import. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just you put the box away, and then you in the app you say, I put that box in the attic or under the couch or
under my pillow.
Exactly. Word for word what I was going to say next. And then when you're looking for it the next day or the next minute or, you know, however often you need that Ace Frehley precious moment to bring you your special comfort, you open the app, you type in Ace Frehley precious moment, or you just search through your photos, whatever. There's multiple ways to search. You'll find it. It's right where you left it. And now you're excited again. Happy, calm, you're in your happy place. Thanks to Smart Labels. Go to Amazon.com and search Smart Labels. You'll find them, and you won't regret it. So do it. Do it now. Right now. You're doing it? You're not doing it. Go do it. Do it. Okay, now you're doing it. Great. Good job. Okay, so anyway, so John has, I don't even know. So now he has a big piece of this wonderful hotel, the Tremont, and everything's going great. On February 24th, 1863, now we're back to John. John marries a woman named Josephine Corey. He is, I think, 37 years old. She is, I presume, 11. That's not confirmed, but that's just kind of a guess.
Like, are you, is there like a photo or something you're going off of here, or is this just, no, I just general we've done trends of these the
stories
times.
Now where that's I'm just fair. Pretty yeah. sure.
And 11 together, and a blood cousin, so it's, you know,
so their kids are super weird. So together John and Josephine have 3 sons and 2 daughters. John keeps working hard, though. He's, you know, he's doing his thing. And over the course of the next 15 years, he eventually gets to the point where he can buy out the Gages first. He buys them out of their stake in the Tremont. And then he buys out the Couches, the original brothers.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. He does buy the Couches, but also buys out the Couches. It's one and the same.
I knew, like, I couldn't remember if that was a me thing or a you thing, the couch part, but that's fine.
He buys all the Couches and eventually, after 15 years, becomes sole owner of the Tremont House Hotel. Whew. 3 years later, the Tremont burns down in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871.
Oh, no. With all the rest of the stuff.
With literally everything. Mm, well, yeah. Almost literally everything. Mm-hmm. Because this son of a bitch, God, as the fire is raging, like literally as the fire is burning, because it burned for days, John notices there's another hotel down the road, down Michigan Avenue at Michigan and Congress, which is right where Ryan and I used to work, where Ryan still does work, at our old college, my old college, his current college, right there at Michigan and Congress, called the Michigan Avenue Hotel. And the fire is consuming everything in the South Loop there, but it doesn't, but it's not crossing the street to burn the Michigan Avenue Hotel yet.
Okay. So he suspects demons, right? It's got to be.
I can't speak to that one way or the other.
I thought this was a ghost podcast, although I guess we'll get there eventually.
I guess we'll get there in 2 more hours. So John goes in.
Almost out of cognac here, just so you know. I'm getting very close.
You're drinking cognac?
It's literally all we have. It's that or corn whiskey, and it doesn't pair well with sleepy time tea, I found. So, yes.
Okay. Patrick, you are my motherfucking hero. Thank you.
So, John... Sorry.
No. So, hotel, demons, not crossing the street. Got it. Yes.
Again, I wouldn't say necessarily demons. Maybe demons, but this... Actually, none of these hotels that we've talked about so far or we'll talk about now are our ghost hotel. So, it doesn't... He can't cross the street. The fire can't cross the street. So John, whose hotel is currently on fire up the street, goes into this hotel. He meets with the owners while the fire is burning, and he puts down a payment to buy the whole damn thing.
Okay.
So he's like, my hotel is fucked for the third time.
Right. And I've got some insurance money coming in. Very looks like very soon, actually.
This hotel actually seems okay, and he makes a big bet that the fire will not cross Michigan Avenue, and the fire does not cross Michigan Avenue, and this hotel does not burn down.
Interesting.
So now John is the owner of a hotel that
I believe Megan has the.
I have a question.
Can I just do this one? I'll do one thing, then Megan,
that's
is that okay?
That's why I put my hand up.
Okay, thank you. You're so polite. I hear Canadians are so polite and white. So he has a new hotel. And for a while, all the other hotels have burned down. So this new hotel is pretty much the only hotel in the game. Megan, do you have a...
Yeah, something? Yeah, Clayton, thanks. I just wanted to know if... thanks for calling on me. If he knew the value...
You can't just interrupt like Patrick does.
No, that's not polite.
It's really rude.
If it's so rude. If he knew the value of the interior decoration of the hotel.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, gosh. Truly such an important question. I have to assume yes. I have to assume that at some point, like, he had, like, gone to scope out the competition and was like,
yeah.
Right.
These couches, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Did you see the molding on the arms?
Oh, Jesus.
Which we all know.
This one has skulls on the arms and skulls on the back, and you can rest yourself there and draw out demons from the deep earth.
So he goes back out.
This is worth something.
So he goes back out in the street and he starts dragging all his couches back into the burning hotel. Like, fuck all these things.
So he buys this hotel. It's the only one that's not burned down, and he calls it the Michigan Avenue Hotel. Oh no, it's already called the Michigan Avenue Hotel. So
he continues calling it the Michigan Avenue.
Michigan Avenue Hotel. So he buys up after that. He's raking in money, 'cause this is like the only hotel in the loop at this point that's not burned to the ground.
And of course, tourism is raging right now. People, everybody wants to be downtown.
I want to go see those ashes. Yeah, I think so. Well, they're pushing the ashes now at this point to, what's the, I always blank on the name. What's the part of Chicago where they, that's built on the ashes in the north?
Oh, the little harbor there?
A street?
No. It's a gigantic, Ryan is probably screaming right now. It's a gigantic piece of Chicago that is built on literal ashes.
Navy Pier.
Navy Pier is part of it, and there's a whole name for it. Ryan's not appearing, so we'll just keep going.
No, but Ryan is gone.
Ryan is in bed.
I think it's called the Pentagon.
Yes, I think it's called the Pentagon, and that's how the Pentagon came to be, and now it's going to be run by someone who is so inadequate. Anyway, so he buys more hotels. He's so wealthy. How wealthy is he? I'll tell you, he's so wealthy that he became famous for his annual Thanksgiving dinner, which came to host over 500 people. And just as an example of what that included, one such dinner had a menu of venison soup, leg of mountain sheep, ham of bear.
Ham of bear?
Ham
of bear.
Is that like turducken?
It's like it feels very turduckenish. Yeah, it feels like, okay, we gotta find one bear that will eat a pig, and then we can do ham of bear. So there's ham of bear, antelope steak and mushroom sauce, oyster pie.
Oh no! I'm skipping
that.
Yeah, I'm skipping that on the buffet line right there.
Patrick, you're not even allergic.
I'm here for it.
I am now.
I think here for it.
Oh, you have to try. If you
okay,
yeah,
I will try it. Yes, it's 18. What?
Oh God, where are we now? This is 18. I don't know, 1880.
Okay, yeah, yes, I've probably been eating like turnips and wood ash for 2 years. I'm probably trying the oyster, whatever the fuck you want to feed me at this point. That's fair.
I'll be honest. At this point, as someone who's allergic to oysters. Mm-hmm. Like at this party, I'll eat the oyster pie.
I'm tired of this life anyway.
EpiPen, it's fine. Like this is incredible. I will never have another chance to eat oyster pie, whatever the fuck it is.
Should I just keep note of my questions for later? I'm just gonna make a list and come back to
that. You can do it.
You also have a question about the 1870s EpiPen? Because I do too, a little bit, like just a little one.
is that the one?
I'm assuming it's a quill. It's got to be a quill, right?
Just write it in the leg. Probably a quill.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's
this
okay.
This is going to hurt so bad, and you will get other diseases, but...
I'm going to keep a list, and we can ask them all in one go after.
We should.
Okay. Where are we here? So, Lego Mountain, ham of bear, buffalo tongue, blue-winged...
It does. Oh, absolutely. The tongue, very fatty. Lots of muscle. Oh, it's quite good.
Did I ever tell you about my buffalo story? when I was a young. I mean, it don't ruin in it. The no, sense I'm sorry. That I'm sorry. It's I part of the Buffalo.
Thing. Go on.
When I was in grade school, I don't know. I was probably like, I don't know, 10 or 11. One morning I woke up and I went down and I to the kitchen and I was like, make myself breakfast and things. And I'm eating my cereal and I look out over our backyard, which is like 6 acres. And I look out and there are two buffalo in our backyard. And I thought, what is...
They weren't there yet.
What is happening? Mm-hmm. Did we buy buffalo?
You're a kid. You have no say in it. So it's not. I mean, it's
yeah.
Not.
It could just happen. Like no one would be like, "Hey, Clayton, listen, we're gonna buy buffalo. I want to prepare you.
I have some financial questions to run by you.
Do you think we're buffalo about, is a good choice for us?
Thinking about buying buffaloes.
I woke up and there was two buffalo in my backyard and I thought, this is so strange. The only place I had seen buffalo was in the movie Dances with Wolves, mm-hmm. which is a movie I should not have seen at that age, probably.
Right. And like, you're wondering, do I have to go kill these buffalo
now? I have to eat the heart of this buffalo, right? Like, that's what buffalo are for. Mm-hmm. And they just wandered off and I was like, there were buffalo in our backyard. And by the time my parents came downstairs, they were gone. And I was like, there were buffalo back here. And they were like,
you sound quite mad.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we bring Clayton to the doctor? And I was like, there are buffalo back here.
I always told you he was too tall. No, it has nothing to do with it.
the blood can't make it all the way to the brain. But eventually it turned out that they had escaped from a local buffalo farm. But mm-hmm. apparently for buffalo, if they escape from their farm, they won't be herded, which I don't know. Again, Dance with Wolves would beg to argue, but they had to put them down. And so anyway, buffalo tongue was on the menu. Blue wing, teal, leg of elk, sandal crane, antelope steak, and mushroom sauce. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did this already. Oyster pie. That's where I started. Sorry, everyone. Filet of grouse with truffles and rabbit braise with cream sauce.
Interesting. So no turkey. Yeah. is that your problem too? Yeah.
I was just curious if these were served all at once or if this was like the course. If it was like by course.
That's a great question. And like in which order do you serve these things? Mm-hmm. None of these seems like an appetizer. None of these isn't a amuse-bouche.
No.
None of these is dessert.
I think you start from the sea and then you go to land and then you go to air. I think that's how you serve these. I'm pretty sure it's an evolutionary thing. I mean, it's a French thing. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
The Mormons started it. Brings it closer to God. We're in the city of God.
Mm-hmm. The Mormons and Darwin got together and they were like, we must have some common ground. And they were like, what if we eat a lot of animals in the right way?
When you're done talking about this, I'd like to just throw a couple quick. Okay.
Well, I don't think we'll ever get there.
Pizza.
Wait, are you done? Or I was going to wait.
I am now. No, you're host. You're host now. Don't be so polite. Be American. Okay. Just tell us when we're done. I will say, everyone, this is going to have to be two episodes because we have so much further to go.
Lumberjack.
Yes, though, please.
Lumberjack.
Lumberjack?
Lumberjack mm-hmm. ghost.
Oh, we're back to okay. That's got to be north. That's got to be.
I've got to find this list. I got to find
Banff.
This list.
Banff feels pretty good. Although I'm recently learning my list is not necessarily simpatico with Meg's list.
No,
I'd say Banff. I'm gonna go Banff.
Banff's a good guess.
That makes me think it's not Banff. So. You weighed in on it.
There we go. Okay, find the list.
Alexa, which Canadian province is furthest north? Aaron took my Alexa out of this room and put it in the girls' room, so I don't know. No.
You said lumberjack?
Did you know that before you asked to speak to Alexa?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Hey, as a Canadian... Meg, do you know about the sour toe?
No. Oh,
here goes another hour.
No, we can't. We'll get into it later.
I just wanted
to know.
I'm going to put on my list of questions.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so lumberjack, you said?
Yeah.
That's, to me, screams West Edmonton Mall. That's what it says to me. It really does.
So. All right, well, in light of that, I will stick with Banff.
Neither. Unfortunately, Although West Edmonton Mall, do you know what West Edmonton Mall is known for?
I sure don't.
Sneakers?
It is the craziest fucking mall. People take their kids to that mall for spring break. Like, it's an event. You can go to West Edmonton Mall with your children for 2 weeks and have them be entertained. It's wild. It's huge.
I'm feeling better about my choice, frankly.
Listen, I am so curious about what the fuck is going on at West Edmonton Mall that would allow that. Put that down for our Ghost Plus content. Yeah, that's one of your questions for that.
But no, and Banff would have been great, but it's not. It's Whistler.
Oh,
it's Whistler. Well, I already,
she's chasing us backwards.
Because
I already guessed that, so I can't go back.
It used to be a lumberjack or it used to be a lumber mill. So there's just strange noises and a lumberjack appears.
I feel like I was closest, though. I'd probably get like half a point.
That, you know what? I think so. That was actually a very good guess, even though I bet you have idea where Banff is.
No, but I've seen photos of Banff. It's fucking gorgeous, and there's mountains.
Fun fact.
Wait. Oh, shoot. I'm on the wrong thing. Hold on.
Fun fact. Yep.
Wham!
Yes. My family is from, I'm like seventh generation Canadian, and as in colonial, as in, you know, I helped with the genocide, yay me.
You buried all the children under the
schools? Yeah, we gave them smallpox and raped a few ladies with illegitimate children. Anyway.
Hey, who among us?
I'm very proud. Very proud of my heritage. Anyway, but my great-great-grandfather, when they came, settled on my father's side. So this is all my father's side, settled in Lake Louise, Banff. And they, like, so my grandfather was raised in, like, proper one-room schoolhouse, like, Wolverine. Wow. Like, there's a picture of my great-grandmother holding a Wolverine pelt.
Oh, not like the comic Wolverine, because I was about to, I had so many questions.
Yeah, no, the actual animal that exists in the prairies that Wolverine is
less
named
interesting,
after.
But yeah, good.
Is it? I think it's pretty fucking cool that I have a grandmother who shot four Wolverine and stares dead into the barrel of the camera with sheer determination.
That is cool, but I've high-fived Hugh Jackman in a movie theater, so it's kind of the same.
Was it really a high-five, though?
Let's be honest.
It was a high-five, and it was on Oprah.
Well, I mean, it was a high-five for him, but...
Oh, it was like, give me some skin.
It was
for
a
me.
Side
yeah,
five,
that's
let's
true.
Be honest.
That's
it was,
true.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. Whistler.
Well, this game is going great for us. Okay, so... Where are we here? Okay, so John's got these fancy dinners. Now he's getting pretty old, though, and he tells his children, like, go forth. Make me proud of you for once. And two of his sons, John Drake Jr. and Tracy Drake, they decide to follow in their father's footsteps. They become hoteliers.
Oh. The second part of... Okay, that's fine. I didn't know if they're going to go
where,
back.
Actually, so this is where the story starts. So
we're on page two.
In 1916, they acquire a piece of property on Michigan Avenue and Lakeshore Drive. Ryan, do you know what the story is?
You got Drake.
It. Okay, good. You got it. All right, just checking.
I'm still here. And mostly awake. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine.
Is everything going okay in the chat? Are people mad this is going so long?
No, they seem mostly fine with it. You know, there's some good stuff, and you know, we're brainstorming a few things. But you know,
okay. Let us know if we have to address anything. That's
no. Plus. I think we're gonna go ahead and avoid all that and just keep it moving. Thanks.
Okay, great. Okay, so they buy the property and they finance the purchase of this property with the help of a quote syndicate of family friends. That includes members of the Palmer family and the McCormick family.
Oh, more big Chicago names.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Again, there are five important people in Chicago, and no one else matters. So they build a brand new luxury hotel on the property, and all together with the land, construction, and furnishing, of course, the new hotel cost, at the time, $10 million. which is about $120 million today.
$4 billion.
Yeah. No, again, I know. And you know, the conversion to Canadian currency may be throwing up a little bit.
That's much closer. Yeah.
So they build this hotel and they call it the Drake Hotel. Patrick, you ever stayed at the Drake?
No.
Aaron and I did a staycation at the Drake one night. It feels very much like a hotel that was so good at like 1920.
Okay.
And also is still a hotel. So they open their doors. Oh, and this is so okay. This is going to be gratifying for everyone. Thank you so much for waiting for us, everyone. They open their doors. They open the hotel. New Year's Eve, 1920.
Ooh.
It has been 13 hours, but we have gotten to the whole thing.
And amusingly, on the East Coast, it is New Year's Eve right now. So that's.
I'm so tired. They open the doors, and New Year's Eve, I will say, is a genius, truly, night to open a luxury hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make so much money, and every single room is going to be absolutely drenched. So they have a huge gala to celebrate the opening of the hotel. Everyone in Chicago is there. Like, all the important people in Chicago are there.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 2,000 attendees. This gala.
Whew.
What do they have like today's multiple numbers? Ballrooms. 78 million attendees.
Canadian.
It's or in Canadian, so many billions. So there's so many attendees, and one of these attendees is a woman who shows up in a striking red gown. She attended as the guest of her fiance, who was one of the accountants for the hotel. After dinner, the man excuses himself for a bit, and there are so many people there that she kind of loses track of him. They get separated. She can't find him. She starts to get worried that maybe he's like gotten sick or something. Mm-hmm. So she goes up to their room to see if he's on there. She goes up to the 10th floor. She goes to their room, and he is there.
Oh, there you go.
He is making the room case absolutely closed. Drenched with another woman from the party.
Oh, no.
Wait, is she the ghost? Because that would be fucking great.
Yeah. Is which she?
Any of the she's. I think it's compelling either way. I really do.
Is he having sex with the ghost?
Yeah, or that one. Especially since he's in the business of sex harnesses. I feel like that would be like a hot sell, you know?
I do know. I want to say that this person has nothing to do with sex harnesses. this is an accountant for the hotel for the person whose grandfather, I think, at this point, was into horse harnesses.
I mean, the court's not going to see it that way.
So she goes up there. She finds her fiance having sex with this woman in their room. She backs out of the room. She's screaming. She's crying. Like, she's so distraught, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she's running down the hall. She gets to the end of the hall. There's a window there. She's like, I don't know what I'm doing. She opens a window and she throws herself out onto the Walton Place sidewalk.
Oh, what a shame.
It's not good.
Mm.
Her red dress made a big old red stain on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Also her blood. And today, you can find the lady in red haunting the Drake's 10th floor still, as well as the ballrooms and other event spaces.
Ooh. Okay.
In fact, several years back, someone on a tour claimed to have spotted the lady in red in a ballroom, and she snapped a photo.
Oh, I can't wait for this crystal clear photo. Come on.
Oh, you've done this podcast before. That's interesting.
How drunk was the woman taking the photo?
It was.
We will see in 1 second.
Hard question.
Ah.
Oh, that's not red.
No. No, it is very clear. That's true. It's very see-through.
It's quite white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
but it is ghost shaped.
Vaguely, I mean, not even human shaped, vaguely ghost shaped, I would say. That's it's got a very like Charlie Brown ghost thing going on. It's
which
very-
is exactly what Meg asked us at the beginning of the podcast if we had gone to on Halloween with a sheet ghost situation. Mm-hmm. So yeah. that's what this is. So if that's our standard, this is a ghost.
Far exceeded. Mm-hmm. I think Meg has a question about the Charlie Brown ghost.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Meg. Yeah.
Was the woman taking the photo a photographer who knew how to blend two photos together?
From the looks of it, she appears to have been a Labrador. So I don't think that's...
Okay. I don't know. These are great questions. Important questions, I would say. I wish I had the answer, but I don't. I don't know. It's a mystery. Hmm. What I can say is the lady in red is not the only ghost at the Drake Hotel.
Ooh.
In January of 1940.
Wait, stop!
Hold on. I get...
Oh my God, your listeners.
Pizza.
Hate me so much.
No, last I think one. You're their favorite thing of this whole thing.
Last one. Okay, this is the last one.
Okay.
This city has 4 ghosts. So I'm going to tell you the
city?
4 mm-hmm. ghosts. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to guess which old spaghosty it is. Which old right. spaghosty city.
Wait, how many are all 4 of these in an old spaghetti factory?
Yeah, the same old spaghetti factory. All 4
oh,
of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Super okay. haunted.
It's the hauntedest. And I
Saskatoon.
Did you just want to say the word Saskatoon?
It's a pretty fun word to say.
It's a it very is. Fun word to say. It's got the consonants all in the right places.
Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
Okay. So I'm going to start with a couple, but I think I might have told you one of these yesterday, so you might know the answer, Clayton, so you might have to go second.
Let's just tell everyone yeah. you stick with didn't, Saskatoon. And I don't.
You're stick with Saskatoon.
No, I didn't hear this. I don't
so
know what you're talking
the
about.
First is an old tram conductor, and he just appears seated at the same dining table inside late at night. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when people leave, he changes their place settings in the tram. So the first is an old tram conductor. The second is a young boy with empty eye sockets. So it's like a creepy like The Ring style ghost, like a full on like. And there's been multiple sightings of this one. He's running around after closing. Mm-hmm. A female server follows him. The boy runs under a table, and when she goes to look under there, he looked up and has no eye sockets.
And they're this big. Yeah, it's so crazy.
So that's the second. The third is there's a little girl who appears at a table in the front window holding a balloon. Multiple people have had like full-on conversations with her that lasted minutes.
With a child?
With a child? Yeah. I mean, that's. I don't know why we don't just. Stop I don't know. There.
So that's a ghost.
Yeah.
And the last one is called Little Red Man or Looky Lou. He's a tiny...
Oh, this one you told me about. Yeah.
He's a tiny, dwarf-like man. They say small and mischievous. I have other words for it. Because he walks...
He's a sex pest.
He walks into the ladies' washroom and surprises them. So I don't even know if that one's a ghost. I just
in like
think,
a cool way?
I just
or
think that's Harvey
like in a way
Weinstein
they don't like.
Is what that is.
What like I will say cool is so... Way. You know, Meg, you didn't tell me about, but you didn't, you told me it was in Vancouver, but you didn't tell me which one. So I will say, Patrick, if you're looking at the website, British Columbia
right.
is our goal. I don't know which one of these this is from, truly. Mm-hmm. I have no clue.
I think I am going to have to go with what I believe is a Vancouver location. I'm going to go with Victoria. That's
I
my
was
guess.
Go with Victoria.
Well, and now you can't because you went with Saskatoon, so that's a shame.
That is regrettably true. No. My jokes have come back to bite me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what I'll say. I would go with Victoria if I'm not allowed to because Patrick has done it. I would go with Victoria?
Same. Can't choose mine. Can't choose
it
mine.
It feels so right.
You can, but you can't choose it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, fine. Fuck.
You're leading 1 point to one half of 1 point right now. So we're this is just for all the marbles.
All right, that's true. That's true. All right. I will say then.
This might be a great time to look at the chat, Clayton. I'm just.
Don't. Don't you dare.
I can't.
Don't you dare.
I cannot be.
Don't you fucking dare.
I might, though. Megan's good. Tons of fun.
Are you looking at the amenities of the location?
Clayton,
yeah, this one's.
Hang what on, I love is Clayton is looking at the entire chat right now. He's just reading everything that he's missed the whole last hour.
Gay Bellatro cast. When did we talk about that? Did we even say that?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. You have 5 seconds to guess.
You're going to call.
Okay.
Four.
Three. These are Canadian seconds.
Two. Yeah,
oh no, Langley. 1.4. I saw Langley.
Oh well, first of all, may I commend you on picking a city that is actually even close to Vancouver. So I tip my hat. To
which
you.
One of us?
You, Clayton. You.
Oh, yes. Good. Well oh, good.
Yes, well done. Although what I will say, Patrick, is Victoria is a fabulous guess because well, it is nowhere near Vancouver. It, however, is one of the most haunted cities, like, in Canada, if not ever. It's got a lot of ghosts.
See, I'm discovering now I probably should have clicked on some of these. Oh, yeah, that's not even close, is it?
Yeah, no, you're doing great.
Shit.
No, you're perfect. Change nothing. Unlike Lebanon, British Columbia. No, but there are some great ghosts in Victoria, and Clayton was saying that, like, the two Canadian ghost stories that you've told were in Victoria.
Yeah.
But it's neither of those. It is Gastown.
Fuck, Gastown.
Gastown.
Oof. I guessed that once. Ugh.
It is okay. Gastown. No. Yeah.
Well, this game sucks.
It's a perfect game. I love it. what I will say, just the last thing, is that part of the reason... So the other guys, no one knows who they are. The train conductor makes sense. He came with the tram. But the lady and the boy with the sockets and the weird dwarf man, they've had a psychic come and, like, evaluate the space. And apparently the Gastown location specifically is in, like, a ghost vortex. So it pulls...
We've talked about vortices on this podcast. We've heard about vortices.
Okay, so it's got a vortex. So there's, like, a lot going on. Like, there's a lot of poltergeist and a lot of activity, right?
You never build anything
the old Italian-American casual dining specialty that has the old spaghetti factory.
Well, knowing now that so many old spaghetti factories have so many ghosts, like, that does actually seem like the best place for them to put one.
It's imagining
it's part of their brand.
I'm just imagining the Crate and Barrel across the street is like, and we could have had that location. Now who's laughing?
Okay, right. Take us home, Clayton. Take us home.
Oh boy, got a long way to go for home. So, January 1944, Adele Bourne Williams. She was not born Adele Williams. She was Adele Bourne was her middle name, Williams.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like the Bourne identity. Yeah. I've seen it. It's fine. It's okay.
No E. Sorry. No.
Oh.
Sorry, idiot. You so stupid. Was the wife of a U.S. State Department attaché, Frank Starr Williams.
Was he a star, though?
He didn't come up in this story other than the fact that he was a husband, so I don't think so. Adele and her and Frank's daughter, Patricia Goodbody.
I'm not going to ask.
Checked into, Meg, you okay? Like you're shedding a layer over there. You okay? Oh, she didn't hear it. You okay, Meg?
Just go past.
Okay. They come back to their 8th floor room at the Drake to find the door unlocked and slightly ajar. And so they go inside, but they are cautious, but they don't like that the door is ajar. They go in. Suddenly a woman in a black dress and a black fur coat wearing a white wig steps out of their bathroom in the hotel holding a pistol.
Dramatic.
Yeah,
I've got to
get
ask,
over yourself.
I got to ask, how do they
assassin?
How do they know it's a wig? Like, that's a big assumption, you know. Do they ask her? Like, because at that
1944,
point,
you can tell. It's
is it? It's not
it
a great wig.
It was on fire, so it's like, that's asbestos, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I'm sorry. It is.
I'm still the one with the pistol, though. So you're going to have to listen to me.
Well, it all depends on which order they noticed that it was the pistol or the wig. Like, if they noticed the wig first and commented on it, that would be rude and totally worth a pistol pull.
And by the way,
that lady's wearing a wig. Who, the one with the pistol? Oh, she's a pistol too.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, this all tracks for me. Yeah.
So the mysterious woman, she fires two shots at Goodbody. She misses both times.
Ugh, dumb bitch.
In a in a Chicago hotel room. It's like 16 it's square like feet.
Yeah, I know. But then she fires two shots at Adele, the mom, and one of those shots gets her in the head. Yeah. Don't you feel bad for being so cavalier three seconds ago?
I frankly thought this was the ghost the whole time. Very confused.
No woman comments on another woman's wig, no matter how badly it's placed on your head. If there's anything that I have learned.
That's tough but fair. Tough but fair.
I mean, I'm supporting sister more and more here.
So Adele goes down. The woman in black runs out of the room. So Patricia Goodbody, the daughter, she shouts, like, stop that crazy woman. She shot my mother.
The one with the wig, she screams. And the, and
I no, and she just said stop.
Further infuriates her.
I think you just like point that. That's the one. There were, and this is important. There were other people in the hallway at this point, but they were like, "What the fuck is happening?"
They were like, "That's not a wig."
Yeah,
that
looks all natural. Why are you? Insulting this woman?
Gosh, and so she gets away, and she disappears into the stairwell. Yes, Meg?
Did the wig go with her when she got away?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Continue.
What I will say, so here's the notes that I read. No one mentioned finding a wig.
Okay.
So I think the wig is a really good one, and she glued it on real hard.
Okay. Because that's so what she runs do with wigs, correct?
A bunch of crazy glue on the bottom of it. You put it right onto your other hair.
Bump.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, you're like fucking Wile E. Coyote or something like that. That makes sense. Sure.
So I don't know. She doesn't lose the wig. No one's stopping her. She disappears into a stairwell. Mm-hmm. So hotel security is alerted. For 4 hours, they search the hotel. They do not find this woman. But they do find the murder weapon in the stairwell. It appears as if the woman has dropped it down from the 8th floor all the way down to the bottom, like through the
Like a slinky. Whatever. You go boom, 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 boom.
No, not like that. Like through the middle part.
Oh, through the middle part.
Scary part. Yeah, exactly. Of course you're going to drop through the scary part. And the gun shatters when it hits the ground floor, so it's not a great gun anymore. Now.
Yeah, it's useless.
Yeah, they can't use it to shoot her anymore.
Right, yeah.
Which is a good plan.
The good stopper was her own...
was her own gun. Sure. Mm-hmm. With this one bullet that said her name on it. They lost it. At the time of the murder, a spare key to Adele's room was reported missing at the front desk. But they eventually found that key sitting on the front desk counter about 10 o'clock that night.
Who reported the key lost, and are they trustworthy?
Good question.
This is a really important question for a different podcast.
I'd love the answer.
Great.
Love the answer.
Yeah. Great. Hey, write it down, and we'll see if we can make
this.
I got
some both sides. I got both sides now.
Great question. Anyway, so no money or jewelry had been taken from the room. No one knows what the motive is. They do know that just minutes before the murder, a call had been placed from that room to a fish and ale house across the street.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ordering ahead. This makes sense.
I was thinking in a real big hurry.
Please have it in the bag, out the window, ready for me to go. I can't tell you how fast I will be moving. Please.
I just wanted to know if they were asking the appraisal amount of the furniture inside the Fish and Ale House.
Listen, I don't. This is the only number I know. Do you have any idea about furniture? And they're like, actually,
this all seems really expensive. Actually, yes. I don't know.
$4 billion.
This murder is never solved. Although the serial number on the gun is traced back to a holdup man named Walter Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But Walter is...
Does he wear a wig?
Well, great question. Walter, at the time of this, is currently in prison in Bloomington, Indiana.
Not Lebanon.
He's got an alibi.
Yeah.
Not Lebanon. Definitely Bloomington. He's got an alibi, and the guards are all like, "Oh yeah, he's in prison." But
we kept him in prison all day yesterday.
He did a great job. Why are you asking? We are so good at this. Please shut the fuck up.
Is that a direct quote?
Yes, it's in my notes at least as one. So I think so. Now Walter was in prison. For stealing stuff, but he did say that his sisters had stolen his gun from time to time.
Bitch.
He had two sisters. Did you say bitch?
I did.
It's not nice.
Yeah. But you don't steal another man's gun. Respect
women on this podcast, so I don't know. It's very uncomfortable to hear. Wow, we didn't know we were having a woman hater on this podcast.
If there's anything I hate, it's women.
Rah, rah, rah. But he says his sisters has stolen his gun from time to time. And one of his sisters, Ellen, was actually a key clerk at the Drake Hotel.
Oh, okay.
Now that might seem damning, but you should know his other, no, but
this goes back to my previous question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe, exactly. But listen,
you might need to cross that one off the list there in one moment, Megan.
I think sure, but I will just say, so he's got one sister, yes, who's a key clerk at Drake Hotel. Okay, but his other sister, Anna, was, as the Chicago Tribune described her, quote, a hotel prowler. So it could have been literally either of them. I have no idea. Meg, what do you think a hotel prowler is? What do you have to do to get the moniker hotel prowler?
Yeah, well, I assume that you dress up like Hamburglar and walks around carrying a satchel, creeping to down.
Doing this sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
With your big hand.
Yeah, I assume, but only in hotels, obviously.
Yeah,
clearly.
And they usually there are different classes depending on the hotels. So,
like a 2-star versus a 3-star type thing. Okay,
Aaron, just brought me another drink. Thanks, Aaron.
Clayton, you stop being funny. I've watched the live stream.
She was plugged into this, so okay. Yeah, all right. I'll take the note. Thanks, Aaron. Let's see. So,
do we get to learn what a Chicago hotel prowler is,
though? Yeah, hotel prowler, but Chicago, the police are bad at stuff, so they never make an arrest. But some years later, guests of the hotel started to report sightings of a ghost on the 8th floor. A ghost that they say was wearing a black dress with a black fur coat.
Mm.
So this is a ghost of the murderer, not the murdered.
Oh.
Which is something I don't think we've ever seen before.
Wait, peculiar. What about the wig, though?
Exactly.
Is there a mention of the wig? You're with me, right? You're with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Huh? Yeah, thank you both for asking that important question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's one more pair of notable ghosts haunting the Drake Hotel. But this has obviously gone too long. We are going to save these for the next ghosty. So if you want to hear the real full story of the Drake Hotel, head over to Ghost Plus and get your subscription. And Patrick and I will tell you that story. Maybe we'll bring Meg back if she wants to come back after all this mess. Because
if your fans want me to come back, let's be clear.
I think
hey, everyone, email us and let us know if you like Meg or do not ever want Meg again.
One line email. Doesn't have to be detailed.
Just put it in the subject line and that's it. But there is another really like truly interesting pair of ghosts of the Drake that is a good ghostie. So we'll do that later. But those are the ghosts for now of the Drake Hotel, Chicago. And Meg, you have anything else?
I was just looking at the chat. I mean, it is quite a cliffhanger to leave us on because, I'm certainly left with so many crucial questions. Like,
post-it notes upon post-it notes.
What happened to the sex harness? And where is the wig now?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? We will answer all these questions in Ghost Plus. So if you're not currently subscribed, think about it because we're gonna talk about all of that and we will give you some really solid answers. Definitely. So this has gone so long. We are going to stop here so we can have enough time to chat with our Ghost Plus subscribers who've been just barreling through all this with us. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Happy New Year.
It's been so good.
Yeah. Let's see. This, this has been another episode of Is This a Ghost? This is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes are taken this week by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean and our very special guest, Megan Phillips. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media managers are Kai Valonis and Sam Murdoch. And we're so grateful for all of them and for all of you. And you know, Happy New Year, everybody. And if you live in Chicago, you should do what Patrick and I did and move out of it, because if you stay there, there's a real solid chance you will become the next subject of Is This a Ghost?
Ghost. Oh, I thought we all did that together.
We could.
Sure.
We'll workshop it.
Is This a Ghost? Got it.